B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
It's 4 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show. Jason Stark will join us in about 25 minutes. 4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at LandisBC.com. It is General Knowledge Wednesday. You're playing for Hooters gift card every hour. And we're doing a show tomorrow from Hooters Game Prussia as we're out of the studio. Phillies game on tomorrow. You know, I was thinking, it's lonely without the Phillies now. You know, I get used to going home at night. And, you know, we just say goodbye to Neil and Mike. During the break, I went outside. Mike goes, why are you so mean?
Who are you mean to?
Mike asked me why I was so mean. Am I mean on the air?
No.
Mike thinks I'm mean. He said, why are you so mean? I go, well, sometimes, you know, you got to be mean. Put
no.
people in their place.
Well, it's not that you're mean, but you like to question people on their opinions, which could be... It's more of like a cross-examination.
Uh-huh. It is. I cross-examine people.
You do.
Yeah, this guy sent me the perfect thing on the email. It was like a meme. He sent me three... It was a animation of three glasses. And the three glasses looked like it had lemonade in it. And the one glass, the caption is, half empty. Next one is half full. And the third is, there's pee in that glass. And that's the realistic view.
Right.
So that's what he says, this is what you are. You're the guy who says there's pee in that glass.
Right.
So don't drink it.
Yeah, I guess. Does it look like pee? I'm a little lost.
Yes, it does. The glasses have three yellow liquids in it.
Right.
It could be lemonade.
That's what I said. It looks like, you know, it's supposed to be lemonade, but I go, no, it's not lemonade. Don't get conned.
Right.
There's pee in the glass.
Exactly.
He says that's the type of guy you are.
Yes. It's just all about fairness.
Yeah. Now, that said, here's the realistic part of tomorrow. The Eagles are not playing as well as the Green Bay Packers. They're probably not as good as the Packers right now. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But that doesn't mean they can't win. In the NFL, when you least expect a team to do well, they do well. And it's happened many times with the Eagles where you go, they're not going to win that game. Or they're going to win this game. They wind up losing the game they're supposed to win. They win the game they're supposed to lose. So that's what I'm hanging my hat on tomorrow, which is not a very strong deck.
No.
So to speak.
Well, real fast, Cabrera literally has 86 RBI.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, see, here's the thing. Cabrera's a part-time player, journeyman player. That's not a guy that you get rid of and he flourishes somewhere else. He's always been that type of player. He's a solid bench player is what he is.
Yeah. I think they messed up Santana, though.
Well, they might have. But again, how do you know he would have had the same year in Seattle? He's in the comfort. He never sold his house in Cleveland. He's comfortable. There's something about being comfortable in a place that makes you work better.
That's fair.
Right?
Yeah.
But Freddie Galvis, I mean, come on.
Nah, he stinks.
He's the same player he always is. Yeah, he'll get a hit a couple home runs. His on-base percentage is always below 300.
Yeah, he's never walked ever once in his life.
Yeah. But, like, would they be better off with a Drupal Cabrera than Brad Miller?
Absolutely. Maybe. No, that's a big gap.
Maybe.
No, that's a big gap.
But a Drupal Cabrera commanded more money on the market as a backup player.
So right? Pay him. You can't have Bamboo Brad and Shaw Rodriguez. No, he's better than both of them combined.
Bamboo Brad may have played his way into another utility role for next year.
He will, on another team.
No, here.
Nah, no way. There's no way a new manager looks at him and wants him back.
Yeah.
Well, Madden won't want him. Dusty Baker won't want him.
Klintak might want him.
Yeah, he's going to be back, unfortunately.
Well, let's go to Cesar in South Philly. What's up, Cesar?
What's up, Big Mike?
How you doing?
Good, man, good. It's actually Caesar, but it's all right.
You're Caesar? Yeah, but I'm used to the Cesar part. When I see that, forever and the rest of my life, I'm going Cesar.
All right, no,
I'm
no
sorry.
Problem. You're the man. This is your show.
All right.
Listen, now, basically, I just want to talk about, like, the Eagles. I think we're going to show up, but I still think we're going to take a loss, like, in a close game, I think. The other thing I want to talk about is... you know, everyone's been bashing our secondary, rightfully so, because they do stink. But I don't hear anyone bring up Derek Barnett at all. Like, this guy was top 15 pick only 3 years ago. He's like mystery relevant out there, Mike.
I have mentioned him. I'm worried about a guy like that who gets nicked up every other play. He's a nicker. He's like one of those guys. Now, he might be, I hope he can overcome these injury problems because he's solid if he can. But I'm worried that a young guy like this who gets nicked up this early in his career isn't going to continue to get nicked up.
Even when he has been, you know, available, he hasn't produced. Mike, they were comparing this guy to Reggie White, you know, because he came from the same college, I believe Tennessee, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But he broke Reggie White's records and a top 15 pass rusher. You know, you get excited about it. You're like, oh, this guy's going to be the next, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like completely, completely a bust to me.
Yeah, he's not a bust yet, but I hear where you're going with it.
I'll take a question, though.
All right, you want Joe Lyle's question? All right, let's go with, what did we do last? We're in Hall of Fame players. All right, let's go with, you got to give me at least two Baltimore Orioles Hall of Famers.
Cal Ripken, and I'm not a baseball guy. I guess I'm not going to go to Hooters.
Oh, no. Come on, man. You got to get this. A pitcher and an outfielder.
I'm not a baseball guy.
But you got to get the pitcher and the outfielder.
I'm going to know the outfielder once you say who it is. Or the pitcher. It's definitely a big name. I just can't think. Cal Ripken's the only
Frank Robinson. Brooks Robinson. Jim Palmer. There are I think about six more Baltimore Orioles.
Jim Palmer used to do those commercials when I was a kid. What was it like for? Like a bank or money place or something?
Well, it wasn't the money store, was it?
Could have been the money store.
That was Phil Rizzuto. Phil Rizzuto for the money store.
He did something, but Rizzuto was earlier.
Yes.
You had that one ready to go.
Maybe Palmer.
You just morphed into that role.
He had that New York thing. Phil Rizzuto for the money store.
It's pretty good.
Thank you. Maybe Palmer took that over. It's possible. Tim in Charlotte. Tim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim. Yo, Tim. Timmy Tim.
I'm here.
Go ahead,
I'm
buddy. Here. All right, go ahead.
Hey, here's my question. What I don't understand, this play calling... When I think it was our last drive, it was 3rd and 8.
Mm-hmm.
And throwing the ball down the field, why on a 3rd and 8 and you're in 4th down territory, why are we not calling a 9-yard play, 10-yard play, maybe picking up 6, and then we got 4th and 3?
Well, why were they in 4 down territory? I don't know. I thought that was an error to think that they were in 4 down territory.
Yeah,
but I think he made that decision on the fly. In other words, you throw on 3rd and 8, you're not thinking it's 4 down territory, and all of a sudden the whim hits you that you go for it on 4th down. That's a coach not thinking on his feet.
Yeah, but I'm a big believer. Listen, if when it comes down to winning or losing the game, because you know if we finish that drive, at the very least we tie up that game, if not win. So in the situation that we were in at that point, we need 8 yards on 3rd down.
But you still don't run it on 3rd down there. Why would you run it on 3rd down?
I'm not saying you got to run it on 3rd down. I'm saying you don't go for 20 yards when you need 9.
Yeah, I got you. I don't remember the exact pattern they went with on 3rd and 8. But you're saying they should go short yardage because it's 4th down.
You go short yardage. Listen, you don't need 20 yards for 1st down. You need 8.5.
Yeah, but the pattern, some patterns aren't perfect. Like, you have 4 options on a pattern. Maybe that was the pattern that was open, the deeper one.
Well, on 4th down, if my memory serves me correct, they threw it to Zach Ertz, and he came up just a little. He came up a couple yards short. It just kills me when you do that. Listen, 3rd down, you need 5 yards. You run a 6-yard pattern. You don't run 20 yards.
Yeah, I disagree. I think you got to convert to 3rd down. You got to, you know, it's got to be a healthy pattern. But it's got
to
be a healthy pattern. It can't be a short pattern because you're not planning to go for it on 4th down. Why would you go for it on 4th down there?
Because
you weren't in 4 down territory. You had 3 timeouts left. You could have punted the football. It was like 3 minutes left. 3-something.
That's not
4 down territory. You want general knowledge question?
Yeah, I got time to get it wrong.
All right, here we let's go here with yeah, these are hard questions today, man. I'm trying to get you an easy one.
Give me an easy one because I'm not. I watch baseball, but I don't follow it too much.
Well, this is its history.
Okay.
All right. So let's give you this one here. These are hard, but it's a multiple choice question. Which of the following was not one of the ancient wonders of the world? Was it A, the Colossus of Rhodes? B, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon? 3, the Great Pyramid of Giza? Or C, or D, the Parthenon?
I'm going to flip a coin 2 times and say D.
You're going to say the Parthenon?
Yeah.
That's correct. Well, he flipped the right coin. Parthenon, not one of the ancient wonders of the world.
No.
I've been to the Parthenon.
How was it? Rocky?
Yes.
It was ruins.
Ancient ruins.
Yeah. A lot of holes.
See, that's what I did. Like, I go to these places. Like, I've been to these, like, the Roman Colosseum, the Parthenon, and, like, all the tourists, the Sphinx.
Yes.
And all that stuff. And I don't get moved by it. Now, is that me?
Yes.
It is me.
Yes.
See, now, I would be moved by that more than I would by, like, a nature
King Tut's tomb I've seen.
Really?
Yeah.
That would move me.
That did nothing for you.
No.
The wonder of the pyramid and how they had all them slaves built by hand.
I think it's fantastic that they
over
did.
Over a decade.
But looking at it, like looking at the Parthenon, a bunch of rocks and...
Taj Mahal didn't move you?
Taj Mahal moved me because that's spectacular.
Well, that's one of the seven wonders.
But it's still spectacular. It's like not... You're not looking at ruins, you know?
You're just like looking at it like it's a dilapidated building.
Kind of.
We got some confirmation.
Kind of am. Like the first Olympics were held in that stadium. Like it's
that
like,
doesn't move you?
I ran on the kind of the area where the track was.
You did?
Yeah. But it's just like a ruined stadium.
Right. No, look, I get it.
I mean, I would do something.
Teach their own.
We got confirmation. It was the money store with Jim Palmer.
It was?
Yeah. He took over for that when I was a kid.
You know what? My buddy Rob Kessler just sent me the Phil Rizzuto commercial. Can you pop that up? Phil Rizzuto, the money store? See if I'm remembering it right. Phil Rizzuto for the money store.
Well, and Booney also sent us.
Booney sent it too?
Booney sent us that, and then he also sent us Jim.
No, I sent the money store when he sent him in his drawers.
Yes,
he used to sell drawers.
Jim Palmer in
Oh, yeah, he did sell. He had underwear. He had the tidy underwear.
Yeah, his rainbow jockeys that I'm looking at.
Yeah, he got a jockey tighties.
I don't know if I needed to see this today, but here it is.
You know what's funny about those guys that did underwear in the back? You can't tell the human phallic form. They wear some like kind of covering for it.
Yeah, that's kind of strange.
Yeah, because you can't show the human form.
Do they still do that with underwear ads?
Yeah, you don't see like the actual.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you don't see the bag of junk in.
They need to start letting it be real.
Yeah, you don't need to see a bag of junk.
I don't want
to
judge it based on this faux. How's it look proper?
It's kind of grotesque when you think about it. If they would show the bag of junk.
We don't have to do it like that.
It doesn't have to be a bag of junk.
What else is it going to be?
Well, it could be a realistic shape.
Yeah, or just do a mannequin or something.
You can't, like, form it to a realistic shape.
Why?
Because there's too many fleshy folds.
No.
Oh, goodness. We have the ad.
Everybody knows that it's there. Everybody knows that there's something there.
There's nothing smooth about it.
You can make it smooth.
You can make it smooth.
No, you can make it smooth.
You can try to tuck, but it still comes out the wrong way.
Well, it does. I mean, look, this poor Jim Palmer looks like there's nothing
Jim
there.
Jim Palmer was wearing probably some kind of a thin cup.
I'm going to make him look less masculine, I tell you that.
No, you can't do it the other
way. Make him look like a Ken doll down there.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it
Come
does.
Come on, Jim.
Yeah, it does.
Looking like a Ken doll.
You can't do it any other way.
I have to look at modern underwear ads.
Right. Well, I have
and
to
And I'll determine it.
Can you play Phil Jito for me?
Holy cow. Are you as confused as I am about these new tax laws? Thank goodness you can buy all the things you need with a fixed rate second mortgage loan as low as today's prime rate of 7.5%. That's right, 7.5%. Best of all, the low interest payments may be fully deductible. Qualified homeowners get instant approval. Call the Money Store toll free. Dial 1-800-221-9000.
Well, wait a minute. Oh. He would, before the spiel, he would intro it by going, Phil Rizzuto for the Money Store.
Well, I couldn't cue it because Natalie's mic was open, but that was the whole ad. That was that whole one that was on YouTube.
I remember
that mic
this. I remember here. Phil Rizzuto for the Money Store. And then he would go into the spiel.
Well, that's the one. I don't know how many are on YouTube.
7%.
Yeah, I wish people would be mad if they got 7% now on their mortgage. Go broke.
Ralph and Shemokin. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ralph.
Mike, great show today.
What's up, Ralph?
Totally agree with your reporting on the bullpen. If you can't throw 95, you shouldn't be there.
You tell me what bullpens throw in. Nick Vincent, Jared Hughes, Mike Morin, and the other dude. I can't even remember his name. That they got.
I mean,
Blake somebody.
Yeah.
The guy who started that yesterday.
But I mean, some of his deals that he pulls, he brings in the center fielder to pitch. He might as well bring Charlie Manuel in to pitch. Or the ball girls. Do you remember one or two games he done that?
Yeah.
Great show again today, but I got to bring this up. Sunday, they showed the highlights of Chuck Charlie Benaric on the hit on Frank Gifford.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you ever heard this story. Someone, that was at Yankee Stadium. Someone fell from up in the balcony, and he was dead when he hit the ground. They took him into the New York Giants locker room at halftime, and the New York Giants thought that was Frank Gifford. And it's a true story. But I mean, you're right on the nail with Gabe. Something has to be done.
Yeah.
Great. I'll tell you, you have a great show today. I've been watching all afternoon.
All right, Ralphie. Take care out there in Shemokin.
I'm Phil Rizzuto for the Money Store, where we can help make your dreams come true.
I'm Phil Rizzuto for the Money Store.
I got to go further back, and I found it.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. What?
That's classic.
It is. All right, we'll take a break. 610-632-0975. Yeah, Natalie, a friend of mine just texted me, my friend Lenny, and he says, the post your 12 donut Duke, and you're trying to do the underwear.
I mean, maybe the underwear advertiser should consider hiring 12 Donut Duke.
No way you're hiding 12 Donut Duke.
You gotta just give us custom draws. Custom reinforced draws.
Here's a cup.
They would sell. Because everybody would think that's what mine's gonna look like.
Stop it. We're back after this. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
432 on the Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time to get a Twitter poll update at 432. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Eganoff. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Sorry, I'm still chewing some of that tomato pie. Who should be like
a... You put a long hot on there.
Yeah.
Long hot on your tomato pie, huh?
Yeah. Like to mix it up a little bit.
Okay.
I live on the edge.
You do.
Over 2,100 votes on this one. Who should be let go? 22% say Kapler. 11% say Klentak. 63% say both. And 4% say neither.
You need 4%ers. I can't hang out with you. Neither. Yeah, things are going swimmingly. Good Lord. What are you going to do tonight? I'm not even interested in watching the game tonight. It's usually a routine. A little dinner, play at the doll, a little dinner, nestle in for a Phil's game. It's all gone.
I watched the Rihanna fashion show last night. You can watch that.
You did?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's on Netflix.
Let's get some more knowledge on this Philly situation following that poll with the man who joins us every Wednesday at this time. His name is Jason Starr. He's in the Baseball Hall of Fame, by the way. Writes for The Athletic and does all kinds of other baseball stuff nationally. Jason, how are we doing today?
Hey, Mike, we've reached the which head should roll poll stage.
We have, and surprisingly, 4% say no changes are needed.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Has John Middleton voted yet?
No, he hasn't. So let's get into that. My man's on the trip. He's in Washington, right? Yesterday was a dark day. Okay, they needed to win the first game, didn't win it, give up the second game, the Nola factor, all that stuff. Where does it go from here, and what impression is the owner getting here?
Well, I mean, the first big drama is, are they even going to finish with a winning record? And they were 15 over last year, finished with a losing record. They were 11 over this year, could finish with a losing record. I mean, that's not a good thing to have on your managerial resume. But, I don't get the impression that John Middleton will be basing his decision on, what he sees over the last 5 days of the season.
Uh-huh.
He's seen it. I think he knows in his mind what he wants to do. And then the question is, how loud is his voice in those meetings? Is this the only voice that matters? I don't know the answer to those questions, but I'm going to say it's going to be loud.
Well, I would think it would be. It was loud for the hitting coach. So,
right?
Like, why wouldn't it be loud for the more important decision here?
No, of course it will be. But, the leadership dynamic as it's developed is, the owner is the guy who shows the fire, who shows the emotion, who asks the big questions, who asks, why shouldn't I do this? Why shouldn't we do that? And then the people around him try to fulfill that calming presence, that voice of reason kind of role.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that working, but as I've been telling you for 2 months now, I really believe anything is possible, but I don't know the exact answer to what is going to happen.
All right, let me just give you my mindset here, and then you can shoot holes in it or whatever.
Sure.
If they finish 500 or even one game over 500, how does the owner justify no changes at all? Now, he can justify maybe not changing the front office because a short few months ago he believed in it to the extent where he gave him an extension. But how does he justify not making any changes and not demanding that the manager be fired after a season like this, where logically that you have to do something to placate your fan base?
Yeah, I don't think he's wired to make no changes.
Okay.
How extensive the changes are, only he knows that. It seems like they have started those meetings and those discussions, but I just don't know how many heads will roll. I keep telling you that one of the biggest factors in the manager decision is the choices. You're like, if you want to hire Joe Maddon or Buck Showalter or somebody like that, you only get so many chances to have managers with that experience level and that kind of presence and charisma available at the same time. This is a unique opportunity, even if you like Gabe Kapler. And I think the whole group likes Gabe Kapler personally, and I think they could talk themselves into keeping him. But what are the alternatives? The alternatives, you have to factor that in when you make the decision. You have to.
Yeah, all right, let's talk about yesterday, because I just want to clear a couple things up and see how you saw it. They need the game to stay in it. They go Nola in game two when it doesn't matter. So once they lose game one, what's the point of pitching Nola? And why wouldn't you at that point go, okay, we'll give him one more start, we'll do it at home? Like, where's the thinking in that?
What's your definition of in it?
Well, the magic number was one. So I get it.
But added up for weeks.
I understand, but what's the point of giving him an extra half a day rest?
I don't know.
All right.
I honestly don't know. But you're right. If you really believe that there's a sense of urgency and that you are actually alive, which is what Gabe Kapler's been saying, then right, you've got to pitch Nola in the first game.
Yeah, I mean, you're only pushing it up a few hours. What is he going to do? Is he going to get an extra nap? I don't. And then, okay, let's go into the game itself. He goes out, and obviously he doesn't want to take him out, so he gives him the opportunity. Of course, the pitcher's going to say he wants to stay in, and he gets pinched. Now, at that point, is it appropriate to take him out of the game and bring in Jared Hughes?
Well, he pushed him to his most pitches this year.
115. I get it.
Right. And I mean, he'd reached that one more hitter stage.
Uh-huh.
The one thing you have to say is, I mean, for a guy who never gets flustered, who never shows emotion, no matter what happened, that was as upset as you'll ever see him. And so, you know, I think he was going to take him out after that hitter no matter what happened, but that was an Aaron Nola that I hadn't seen. Was he prepared to attack the next hitter with the bases loaded?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
All right, so you say he was mentally, not only physically, but mentally maybe out of it at that point.
I don't know about mentally, but emotionally. He was in a...
I could buy that, but here's the thing. If you do a value judgment, are you better off with Jared Hughes?
No.
Well, see, that's the thing that's got to be factored in. This is why, like, this manager, I don't understand, like... The mind sometimes does not open up to the right avenues.
Well, in the Athletic today, Megan Montemuro has a rundown of 10 games that sum up the season. And if you read through those 10 games...
Yeah, I have it right in front of me, that story.
Yeah. I mean, isn't there a common theme where the game just kind of reeled out of control?
Yes.
And the wrong guy was on the mound,
yeah,
or something to that effect?
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
And those games add up. And part of it is because, you know, Gabe, when he thinks he has a chance to win one game, he doesn't have that less is more gene in him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, guys start coming out of the pen, and this guy's in there, and then that guy's in there, and then you're out of options for later, or you use this guy yesterday, and you can't use him today, and there are a lot of games like that. There are a lot. And, I mean, if you watch the really experienced managers, you don't get a lot of those games. Now, there's nothing to say that he might not figure that out. I mean, he does want to be good at this,
uh-huh,
but they're not at a stage where on-the-job training can still be a thing, given... When you think of that next year, where they have placed the bar for next year now, you can't afford any more games like that.
All right, let me take you into next year, and I'm just going to make you kind of a general manager, talent evaluator, overseer. Who are the keepers and who might be movable to make the team better?
On their roster.
Yes. So let's go with the first baseman.
Well, he's a keeper.
He's a keeper.
You're not going to move him.
You won't move him.
He's lost.
Yes, he is. That's why I asked you the question. Is he a keeper or not?
Yeah, he's a keeper.
Okay.
You got to fix him, but you're not going to trade him.
I agree, because he's a power hitter and you can't afford to give away power.
Yeah, and it's like the clubhouse revolves around him.
Yes.
And it's important that you fix him.
All right, let's go to the second baseman.
He's affordable. That's another thing.
Yeah, he is. Second baseman. Keeper?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
The second baseman.
I think we discussed him. I would say, he's not 100% gone. He's, 65% gone to me. Just kind of depends on how the other pieces fit. You should make a change there. You should look for a change of scenery. He should look to upgrade, but he's still a talented enough player that you got to make sure you're going to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And because Scott Kingery is a piece who could fall into place at multiple places, I just don't know on that one.
Okay. The shortstop is probably a keeper because he's under contract and you can't find another one. But he's weird. And I don't know if he helps you win. What do they think of him?
Good player. Hasn't had quite the year you would expect him to have, but he's signed for three more years plus, I think, an option year after that. And you're not going to do better. On a better team, I think he plays better. I don't know. Considering the way he started out, he's kind of a symbol of their whole year. What you thought he was going to be versus what he's been are not the same things.
All right. The last question. It's a double question. The third baseman, do you believe, will be Boehm next year at the start or at some time next year?
Not opening day.
Not opening day. He won't be the starter. Which means they have to find somebody who can play third base, which messes up everything now because it might be Kingery, which means they have to keep Hernandez.
You're reading it right.
Well, that's not good. These decisions have to be made before the season.
You could chase Anthony Rendon and then trade Alec Boehm
Is it possible they do that?
You know, that was a big topic at one point in mid-year. There are other teams who thought for sure they'd be at the front of the Anthony Rendon line. Then the year that Alec Boehm had, and considering the need to upgrade pitching, it seems unlikely they'd spend their dollars in the Anthony Rendon pool. But anything's possible. You're going to need to be creative to change the mix and upgraded a number of spots, and third base is obviously one of them. Mikel, as much as people talk about how much they like the guy and he hasn't been treated well here, he has not been a good player. He's been one of the worst players in the league since May.
Yes, he has. And finally, will they trade for a center fielder?
Possible. Okay. One of the moving parts, for sure. But the outfield situation's all jumbled. Mm-hmm. It's jumbled. I mean, McCutcheon's back. GM says he expects him to be healthy. Right field's tied up for 12 years. I don't think you'll ever see Odubel play here again, but that's a tricky situation.
All right.
Adam Haseley, I think, has earned the right to play out there sometime, even if it's not opening day. I don't know. It's just one of the many moving parts.
All right. Jason, it's been a very interesting postmortem. Thank you very much.
It has.
All right.
We're not done with the postmortem.
No, I guess we're not. We'll talk to you.
Hey, Mike.
All right. That's Jason Starr. See, this is the problem. They come into this, Boehm's not going to start the year at third base, but so that messes everything up. Now you got to play Kingery at third. That means you can't trade the second baseman. See, here's the Mike way of doing things. I line it up where I don't have to wander. So Boehm is going to be my everyday third baseman. I'm going to take the chance and believe in the kid produced by my system. I'm going to get a center fielder. I'm going to trade Hernandez and play Kingery second base. And now I've got it all set up. And if it fails, it fails. But this nonsense about, well, we can't bring him up right away, and then maybe we can play this guy in center field. Adam Haseley is my fourth outfielder. Bang! I got one spot on the bench I don't have to worry about. Get into conclusions here. Mike Missinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, a couple programming notes. Don't forget the Ron Jaworski shows tonight, 6 to 7. It's live from Ramble at Country Club. Special guest, Harold Carmichael and Sal Palantonio. By the way, Jason Stark was brought to us by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks. Why strike out with boring soda when you can hit a grand slam? like Trey Turner did yesterday with Everfresh juices and juice drinks. He had probably a pineapple orange mango. They're available at your neighborhood store. Everfresh is nature's refreshment. And also, tonight, after the Jaworski Show, come hang out with Devon Gibbons and Joe Torti. They're broadcasting live from Craft Hall, 901 North Delaware Avenue in Northern Liberties. You know where Craft Hall is, Nat, right?
Yes, I do. Yes, they have a. They actually have They have a playground in there.
A playground
for children.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not like it's like a more of like a family friendly environment. So it's actually kind of cool. So
the children can grab a beer after they play with the balls.
Yeah, you know what? After you go down the slide, you can just grab your
thing. Got an IPA?
No, I mean it's inclusive for families if you want to go and hang out.
Very nice. So the parents throw the kids into the vat of balls, and there you go, have an IPA.
I think that's the plan.
Marty in York, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Marty.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Marty?
I want to talk about Reese Hoskins, but first, you guys missed a recent Cardinal that was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Who's that?
A great pitcher. One of the greatest closers of all time.
Oh, Lee Smith.
No, another one. Bruce Sutter.
Oh, Sutter, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a Cub
also.
Talking
about Reese, how bad we are in need of starting pitching as we have Nola and then Zilch. Would you consider trading Reese Hoskins since he's under team control for a few years for like a number two or three starting pitcher from another team?
You know, at this point, the only reason I would trade Reese is I would come to a conclusion that he was a flash. And it's hard to come to a conclusion for a guy that's got power because they don't grow on trees. So I see what Jason is saying. Like, he doesn't make any money, and he's a power hitter. It's tough to trade a guy like that.
But if Charlie couldn't fix him the second half of the year, who's going to fix him?
Well, but that doesn't mean he won't come back next year and hit home runs. I mean, he's hit him at every level for several straight years.
He wants to pull everything.
Yeah, well, he's got to adjust some things, obviously, but he is a power hitter. And again, if you get rid of him, who hits your home runs?
Well, maybe move Bohm to first base.
Yeah, but he's not going to hit home runs in major leagues right away. I mean, he's not a bona fide power hitter yet. You know, you can sign Rendon, and maybe you turn Bohm into a first baseman or make re-sign Dickerson. But yeah, Rendon's going to get you, what, 30 at the most?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a tough guy to trade. All right, man, we want a general knowledge question?
Sure.
All right, here we go with famous movie scenes. Let's go with, I'm going to give you an easy one.
Okay.
Teen waxes a car to learn essential martial arts skills.
The Karate Kid?
Correct. I'm feeling good now. I'm giving layups.
Wax on, wax off.
That's correct. So let's give them that home stretch. Everybody will get an easy question.
Nice.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if Ralph Macchio had mixed in a karate lesson before when he took that role. Look like an idiot doing karate.
You pick on Ralph Macchio.
I did this. I did it to his face.
The guy's doing roasts to make money.
I did it to his face.
You did?
At that time where I'm going to knock out Jay Moore, I did it to his face. I abandoned material, saw Ralph Macchio sitting next to Bill Power, and went after him.
You heckle Ralph Macchio in your comic routine?
Yeah.
Of all the guys to heckle.
Him and Bill Cowher.
And a consequential nice guy like Ralph Macchio?
I had to get a laugh, man. I had to get the crowd back after Jay Moore screwed me. I also told Bill Cowher his one Super Bowl with the Steelers was lucky. He got off stage.
Bill Cowher was sitting with Ralph Macchio?
Yeah. And did Jay Moore, who had to go home, sitting in the stands, not home. That's why if I ever see him, on site.
Johnny Lawrence, the guy who was the bully, remember in the movie?
Yeah.
He pet me one time on the head. I met him and he went.
Gave you a little pat on the head?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. What did you think of that?
It was interesting.
Was it? Were you offended by that?
No, I wasn't offended. I just, I never, you know.
I'd be offended by the pat on the head.
Really?
Yeah.
I wasn't. He was a nice guy.
I think you should have kicked him in the testicles.
No.
After that, I didn't. Frankly.
I didn't know what to do.
5 o'clock hours ahead. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.